honestly thankful that I haven't had any near-death experiences. Even though that sometimes working with Dad or Lucas or Brother Robert, it can get a little sketchy, God's kept his hand of protection upon all of us. I want to start off in Revelations 22, verses 6 to 7. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Tonight, I want to preach on commission, covenant, promise. In these two verses, in the very last chapter of the book, you may be seated. He's confirming that he will come again, and he's promising to us in this. I want to go back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God had given the first man a job to do, and he even explained what would happen if he had disobeyed him. But then as we go through the rest of Genesis, we are shown that Adam did not follow the orders that God had given him, but then God showed him mercy. I have a lot of scriptures tonight. I just got a little carried away with how excited I got. In Genesis 9, 12 through 17, it says, and God said, this is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. This is right after Moses, Noah, had gotten out of the ark. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more be a flood to destroy all flesh. This is telling him that every time it rains, as the light shines through the water that is still in the air, we are given a bow of colors, the rainbow, that reminds us of his covenant that God has given us, that he will not destroy the earth with water again. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. God said unto Noah, this is a token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. This is what God has set apart for this exact thing. This is the one thing that God had given for this covenant that he had given us, this promise. In 1 Kings 19 through 21, so he departed thence, and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him, and cast his mantle upon him. This is when Elijah was coming upon Elisha. As we go through here in a few extra verses past it, we find that Elijah wasn't too happy with this decision that the Lord has given him. He was a little misguided. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? This is whenever Elijah was saying that he didn't really care what happened to Elisha. It was up to his choice whether he followed Elijah or not. And then and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. This is whenever Elisha chose to follow after Elijah. This is whenever he decided to follow him. And Elijah followed after the Lord and threw his mantle upon him. Even though he wasn't too happy with it, he still followed after God. And this went on to renew his covenant with Elijah. And then in 2 Kings 2, there's a few scriptures that are just down through here. In verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as the soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. This is whenever Elijah gave Elisha a chance to go out. But Elisha remembered the way that Elijah had come upon him. I like to think that God had been dealing with Elisha in what was going to come next in his life. But even here, he still stayed with Elijah. And then again in verse 4, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came into Jericho. Elisha agreed to follow after Elijah day after day through every ministry he had, whether it was from wherever Elisha was living to Bethel to Jericho. And then they had no way to travel other than feet or donkey. In verse 7 through 15, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they stood, they too stood by Jordan. There are 50 men that were sons of prophets in Jericho. They stopped at the river, and Elisha still followed Elijah. These 50 men were not willing to go the extra mile. They didn't believe that Elijah would part the waters. They didn't believe so much in their God that he would make a way as far as they could to be able to continue his ministry. Verse 8, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass that they were gone over, and Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. In the long run, Elisha was rewarded for following after Elisha day after day through every ministry. He followed him across the waters. He went against the crowd. The 50 other young men that were sons of prophets, they stayed behind. They didn't go all the way. They didn't go past the river. Elisha was given a promise that he would be given the double portion. But this was the catch. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. He was given one last challenge. Elisha was given one last challenge to follow through, to test the final faith, the last strains of his faith. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. This is whenever Elisha was given the mantle. And Elisha saw, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. This is whenever Elisha was quite realizing what was going on, what had just happened. This is what had, it was starting to embed into his mind that Elijah was gone. That this power, this great power that God had put in this land is now gone. Then as we read through, we realize it isn't quite gone. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. This is whenever he called upon the power, upon the promise that God had promised him through Elijah. This is wherever he realized that he had the power that Elisha had, two times fold. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. This is further proof that God would keep his promise to anybody. From a simple farmer that followed after a prophet, this Elisha was not a well-known man. He was someone that was helping his father on his own father's farm. He was one that was plowing the fields with the other servants. He was the one that had, he may have had more oxen to make the load easier, but he was still out there with the servants working. These sons of prophets, they did not follow all the way, and they didn't get the double portion. They didn't get what God had been looking for. Elisha, the one humble servant that had followed after Elijah day after day through all of it, that tested his faith, God kept, gave him a promise, and he kept it. In Genesis 17, 1 through 5, and when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell upon his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. This is whenever God had first given the inclination that he was going to give Abram, the descendants of Abram, the privilege of being God's people. All through Abram's lineage is the people that had stayed faithful in the hard times. Noah was part of Abram's lineage. All the different people were made into different ways to follow him. Neither shall thy name be more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for father of many nations have I made thee. God stamped Abram by a change of name that he was going to keep his promise. God had given him a promise, and he stamped it upon him. This was something that would be made permanent. Some things that God doesn't make permanent will still be a mark of his covenant, of his promise. And in Exodus 2, 23-25, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. God remembered his covenant. I didn't put it in here because it was such a lengthy story, but Jacob had given each and every one of his sons, which his Jacob's name was later changed to Israel. The sons of Israel, the sons of Judah, the tribes of Israel were made, and this is the tribes of Israel that were in Egypt's bondage. As the old Pharaoh that knew Joseph had died, a new one came up, and he didn't care what different things came up. The younger generation, I've heard it many times that we were one generation from losing the faith. But then I remember something Brother Joe said, and I was inspired by it. We're one generation from regenerating the faith. But then God kept his faith. Through all the generations, God had kept the promise and still kept his people free, whether it was from many years because of disobedience, but he still kept it eventually. I want to go to the New Testament, to Luke 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. This was after 400 years of silence. This was after God had had a many years of hard times. There had not been a word from God. We had been waiting from Malachi in different things. Malachi was the last prophet. He was the last one to preach. He was the last one to deliver a message from the Lord. 400 years later, God had kept his promise. There had been 3 generations that were divided into 14 from the time that Abraham had been promised until they were in Egypt, until the time that they were in Canaan, and then captured in Babylon was 14. And from Babylon unto this time had been 14. This had been 400 years. It's we think that a week is hard. We have three services. They've had services where God didn't move at all. He wasn't there. They didn't have anointed preachers at that time. They didn't have people to deliver the message from the Lord. They had old books that they could only go to the temple one day a week. They could go and hear them read scriptures from days gone by, several hundred years ago. And we have a hard time keeping the faith for a week when we have three services. I'm not bashing anybody else. I'm guilty of it too. We have to build the altars at home. In Luke 2:28-34, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon was promised that he would see him, and Simeon had been fulfilled in this promise, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. This is what Jesus' job was. He was going to be the one that separated the wheat from the chaff. He was going to be the one that found the wolves in the sheep's clothing. He was going to be the one that separated the weak from the strong. He found the false prophets. He called them out. But he didn't have a bluff. He had the truth. And it was his promise from 400 plus years ago that he would be the promise. He would be the one that sets them free. I want to go to Proverbs 3:1-6. We did these scriptures in school last year. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. This is whenever we're in the hard times. If we keep his commandments, we will last through there. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. Hide the word in your heart. This is what will keep us through the hard times. This is what will keep us in the times that we aren't feeling God, in the times that we might be getting weak. If we can have that one scripture that has brought us strength through that time and time again, it will continue to give us strength time and time again. With that strength, we will be given new scriptures to remember from time and time again. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If we will follow him, then he will continue to keep us along the right path. It might be dark. It might be hard to see, but Jesus is the light. If we can't see the light, then he will continue to be the light. He can only see light. He cannot be given in into darkness. He can only see the light. He can see where the darkness is, but he will always see the light and the right way to go in the path. And it's just, whenever we are in our secret places, it's normally secret, it's quiet, it's sometimes it's not as bright as the rest of everywhere. But then as we go throughout this time, we begin to lighten up this place with what God has given us. With the time that we spend with him, we will be given new things to have in there, to be able to worship him and follow after him in our secret places. In verse number 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. This may seem like just a phrase that we say, and normally you put authority in first, God and then man. We are not to follow after good praise from men. We are not to follow after praise from people. We are not to look for good reputation, different things that we are known for. We are supposed to be known for what we do for God. We are supposed to be known for what we do whenever we're by ourselves. And in Matthew 10, 5 through 9, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep in the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Some people may say this is something that Jesus said, we don't have to pay tithes. Proverbs said, if you don't pay tithes, you won't be able to follow after God. This is whenever someone asks for money, that's on the street, you take them to buy them a meal. You don't give them the money right then. You take them to give them what they asked for. I've heard many accounts of whenever people are asking for money, and in an hour or so, someone will pull up into the parking lot behind them, and they'll turn around and give that money to them. Whenever someone asks for money, for food, then you take them for food. They may not like it, but they got what they asked for. But then this is being a minister to those. We are being an example to follow after God, to protecting those that are lost from things that can harm them, and continue to act on their problems. And in verse number 6 it says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We start in our homes, we start in our churches, we start in our towns before we branch out into other cities or countries. We begin to witness here. We begin to witness in Chelsea before we go to Claymore or Veneta. We begin to witness in America before we go to China or Germany or Africa. We got to start in the places where we're comfortable in. We got to start making this our uncomfortable spot, where God is. So we're human. We're uncomfortable when we're around a great presence and a great power. When we begin to be uncomfortable in our secret places, then our soul will become even more comfortable than our bodies and our human lives. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is whenever Jesus is rising up to heaven. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This is just another account that there's Trinity, that there's three gods in one, that God is all powerful. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The word amen is let it be so. It's a very powerful word that is used at the end of many poetic chapters and many chapters or books that are in the Bible and New Testament, the Gospels. Many of them end in amen. The end of Revelation, it ends in amen. This is just another signature, another promise that God is going to have it happen. And it says in 19, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. This means that he is all powerful. He can give us what we need. Not what we want, what we need. But we should want what we need. But we need to be able to follow after him to get it, and be sure to have him as the all powerful that we go to. Instead of to the government for help whenever we're unemployed, we call upon God to help us, and he will. And he will help us. He will help us find a job. He will help us if we cannot find a job. And then it says in 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We got to branch out. At the beginning of this book, God had said, start in your town. Start where you're comfortable with. Let it be known that this is what you believe here. At the end of the book, it says that God had told them, go into all nations. Once you get comfortable here, take it everywhere. teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Tell them what he had told you. Tell them what God has told you, what has gotten you across the ages, kept you through the hard times. In 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 7, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This is just once again, Paul is confirming that God will keep us. But we have to let it be known. We have to let it be known that God will keep us. When we testify about things God has given us and things that he is working upon us that he had promised us, we are glorifying God and making it easier for him to do it. We are giving the devil a black eye, which gives him less control over the situation that God has given us a promise in. And my last verse, Revelations 22:20-21. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Jesus promised that he would be with us all the time, whether even though it was through a vision from John, the one only disciple that had not been martyred. He lived unto an old age. He lived on a prison island. But this is where he got the last book of the Bible. This is where he was promised, and he wrote it down. We were promised that he would come again, that he would always be with us. Even in the dark times and the hard times, if we continue to follow him right here, he promised that he would always be with us. He is always seeing us. He is always being there, being a witness for us. If we are being judged for something we did not do, God will make sure that we are judged accordingly. It may not be right here on earth, but it will be judged correctly in heaven in the long run, where it really counts. It may be giving us a bad reputation here, but it'll give us an even greater reputation in heaven if we don't fight it for all we're worth. We as Americans are given the right to protest if we believe that there is a... If we are given a ticket and we believe that it is not true, then we are given the right to protest it. If we are proven guilty that it is not true, that... If it is true that we did it, then we are to pay the penalty. And we are to pay for the ticket and begin to correct ourselves to be sure we don't do it again. If we continue to fight that and we don't leave it behind us, then we are just giving a bitterness to those that are in authority. We are beginning to have grudges. That will keep us out of heaven. That is why the Bible, the New Testament, is so strongly given that we are to forgive those, that we are to love our enemies. When we love our enemies, we are to respect them. That's what that means. It means we are not to be savage against them. We are not to begin to blast them. We are not begin to cast them down. We are not to destroy them. That's the devil's job. Just as Jesus said, the vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is not ours. We are not to have revenge. If there is vengeance to be had, Jesus will have it in the long run to be judged later. And if we believe that God should do it now, then that's our problem. We are to get that under the blood. And whenever we begin to do this, we are given a covenant that God will keep us. Just as Elisha had to keep his faith, he was given the promise that he would continue, that if he was to continue to have faith, We don't know how long it was before Elijah was taken up. We were just given point A, and then we were given point B. We were given the start and finish of Jesus' promise, Elisha's promise. Elijah had given this, and through all the faith that Elisha had given him, all the times that he'd followed him, he was given a little bit more and a little bit more. He's given one warning that it was going to be longer. He's given a second warning it was going to be longer. And then at the last time, when all the crowd stayed back, when they stopped at the Jordan, and Elisha and Elijah walked across, that was the test that Jesus had for him, that God was going to use Elisha. And it's just like all the times we are that have been exhorted, that we are continue to build momentum against the hard times. Whenever we are brought up against a brick wall, we are to continue that momentum right through it. If we are following after Jesus the way we should, that there will be hard times. There will be rough times. The path may be get narrowed, and it might be hard to find it, but it will always be there. I'm remembered of the story that Brother McDonald had testified about where his secret place was, and it was back in the woods. And it was a place that he would pace back and forth in a small clearing. And years later, he remembered where it was. God had revealed it to him. And he's there. And whenever he had last walked it, he said it was about 2 inches down, about 8 inches wide. He came back years later, and that trail was 4 inches deep and close to a foot wide, and God had spoke to him that even if he had stopped walking there, God had never stopped being there. Whenever we begin to witness, then God's Spirit is staying there. He will begin to work there. Whenever you plant a seed, it doesn't just immediately die. It will continue to grow. It may not completely blossom. It may not completely grow. It may be cut down before it gets big. But it will continue to grow. It will always be there. And all through this Bible, the word that we are given, the manual, every manual that a company sends with something that we are to operate, it always gives you instructions. And most technical or machines, they have a warranty. There are certain things that will void that warranty where it is useless. But if it is something of that company's fault, then they will take it back. They will either give you your money back or they may replace it. But they have that promise. Then they have disclaimers. That is where the voids of the warranty are. If you are the cause of that, and they go into intense study of what you did to that, and they promise, if it is just a tiny thing, if you had ordered a drill and it didn't put in a screw right and it ended up messing something up, then they will begin to study what you had done. If you had put it in wrong and it had jacked up the drill, if it had begun to grind the gears in the drill and it didn't work right again, that would be our fault. But if it had done that from the start before we had started, then that was their fault. But they had promised in that manual that they would bring it back. They would take it back. They would fix it. This is our manual. We are given precise instructions. If our exact situation isn't in here, there's something relative that God will speak to us, that will be relative to us, is in here. Every situation we can relate to. It may not be the exact one. People may say, well, then God can't use me. He can't use me because he doesn't have my exact situation in here. He always has something we can relate to. There's always someone that's been in that same situation. There's always something in this word that we can relate to. And we may not think that it may not say it exactly. God will reveal to us. If we are truly seeking a way to fix it, God will find a way and show us how to fix it. And I'm guilty of having people show me how to do it and finding the answer through them. Brother Pepper will be a testimony, a witness to the way I learned from math. I have to see it done. If it's an odd problem. If it may have the same process, but it may be different. Sometimes I don't want to think about it. And I raise my flag, and he walks me through it. He doesn't do any of the math. He just walks me through the steps. He tells me what numbers to multiply, what numbers to divide, but he won't give me the answer for any of them. That's what this is for. This will guide us. This will take us to the steps of life. This is what will keep us in the dark times. If we continue to read it, if we continue to practice it, if we will continue to have faith in God, if we will continue to pray, then he will keep us. And through many testimonies that we have heard, there are so many people that have, there's several family members of mine that have went on, several of my great grandparents. My family on both sides have been given promises to keep the faith, and the rest of the family will begin to have faith. And Brother Shelton, he was telling me that whenever he was with Aunt Virginia, she was in the hospital, and she was watching the Facebook, and you believed that God had done something there. And he had told me that. He did not tell me that to praise me. He had told me that to say that God was using me. And then I was been told that Uncle Steve had been given many, had been starting to rethink some times to come to church to hear me speak to see how I was doing. And I am being used. I'm not saying that to brag. To be perfectly honest, sometimes it's a little stressful to be used by God. Sometimes it's a little hard. Sometimes you don't really want him to use you. But then in the long run, he will continue to build your faith. He will continue to have you being used. And before I had given my first official sermon, I had been feeling the call to preach for a little over a year, and I was a little scared to admit it. Whenever I had first come down from shutting everything off on that one night, Brother Pepper had come up to me and said, asked me if there was something I wanted to tell him, and it just broke. And it felt like a huge load had been lifted off my shoulders. Whenever we share what God had been dealing with us, whenever we testify, I will be guilty of not wanting to testify because I don't have something as good as someone else did. But to be perfectly honest, if that person's testimony was someone that was terribly sick had been healed, it may be a great testimony. It may be something that had been awesome because God had moved in it. How someone had been delivered from smoking or drugs. Brother Robert brings it out so many times. I'm thankful that I wasn't in that situation. I'm thankful that my family hasn't been terribly ill. And if they were, and I'm thankful that they were taken up to heaven as quickly as possible. It may not have been the best thing to me for this world, but it was the best thing that God had. My uncle Anthony, he has just recently passed away, and with that passing, it has brought up a few arguments in the family. But then I was given peace, several of us were, whenever he had asked to be baptized at the hospital. It may have been a Catholic baptizing with holy water, but it was something. He had given faith in God. We had been promised that he would be saved before he went on. And he had continued to keep that promise. Just as he had kept the promise from Adam to the last person mentioned in the Bible, John. Just as he had kept the lineage from Adam to Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob that was later named Israel, through Joseph and all Israel's sons, through all the prophets that continued on the work. The Bible was made in several hundreds of years with all the authors of these different books. Most of them never met. Only in the New Testament were most of the people associated. In the Old Testament, there would be 50 years between the closest book. And then the closest people that would be known was Saul, but she didn't write any books. There would be David and Solomon. Those are the two closest people in the Bible. And even then, there were 50, who knows how many years. There weren't hundreds, but there were decades between the times that these books were written that they wrote. God had promised. He had been, in the last book, he promised that this was his testimony. This is what he would keep us through. And in John, it said that Jesus is the Word, and the Word is with Christ. And it's been here from the beginning. Christ, God, and the Holy Ghost have been here all the time. They may not be revealed at the same times, may not be revealed at the times we want, but they will be revealed. They will be revealed at the time that God wants. There are many times in the Old Testament, there's scholars that have said that Jesus appeared to several people. Joshua, whenever he bowed down, the angel, worker of the Lord, did not tell him to stand back up as many times the other angels did. Jesus made an appearance. And as we go through this, we are given many times that God has kept the promise, and he has blessed them for it. I may sound a little repetitive, but this is what God had laid on my heart, and I'm thankful that God had used me in as many ways as he has so far. I've been given many reports in ways that God had used me, and I'm thankful for it. It may be a little embarrassing in the way that I felt that I was being praised, but then God reveals it to me. They were being given an assignment by God. They were being given an assignment by the Holy Ghost to tell me in the way that I had moved with God. And as we go through this, God will continue to have us tell others how they had helped us in the way they had moved. And as we go through this, as we go through this long walk, we are promised a finish. Just as Paul had testified that he had kept the faith, he had finished his course, he was given the end. He ran to the chopping block. He was ready to see his promise. Just as Elisha called upon the power of God that had been given to Elijah. Whenever Elisha died, he was put in a tomb with another that someone else had been buried in. There was one more miracle that needed to be done to make it full. We read through these and we may count. And Elisha's died. They're going to bury him. We count. There's one less missing. God didn't keep his promise. Finish where Elisha was buried. They threw his bones in there. They second they hit that other man's body. He jumped right back up alive again. God had fulfilled his promise, whether it was before or after Elisha had passed away. God will continually keep his promise. With lost family, it may be as on their deathbed. It may be right as they're in church with you for Easter, for Christmas. But he will continue to keep it. He will continue to have us follow after him. And he will continue to have us keep his promise. And through us, he will continue to keep his promise to all of us. I'm thankful that God had laid this upon my heart, and I'd like to turn it back to Pastor.